to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry today. And Jane, all of a sudden we're in the last half hour of the show. How did that happen?
It goes really quickly, doesn't it?
This is, of course, my first time guest hosting the show. I've never done 3 hours of live radio before.
You've done a great job,
and now
Dan.
We've done 2.5 hours of live radio.
Yes.
We're down to the last half hour.
Last half hour. You're going to be back with us, though, on Thursday.
I will be back on Thursday. That's right. We will get to recombobulate again on Thursday, and on a little bit more notice than this one, since we were able to figure this out on the fly.
You've got some good contacts, my friend, that you were able to get do a turnaround in a day and get everyone to join us today. That's remarkable.
We're making it work.
Good on you.
So we're very excited for this last half hour of the show here. We have a guest in person joining us today. We have Matt Moreno, the chair of the Waukesha County Democratic Party, who is, I would say, chair of one of the most crucial counties in the state of Wisconsin and perhaps across the country. Matt, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. And I would definitely say the most crucial county across the country.
That's right. Crucial Waukesha County. We are here in Crucial Waukesha County, where I am from. And Matt is joining us today to talk about perhaps the biggest sea change that we are experiencing for statewide elections in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, one of the big takeaways that I wrote about in my breakdown of the midterm elections in Wisconsin is that the WOW counties are no longer the most reliable Republican base in Wisconsin, and no place more emblematic of that than Waukesha County. I'm gonna run through a couple numbers before I let you talk about it here. But Tony Evers received nearly 40% of the vote in Waukesha County. No Democratic candidate for governor had ever gained more than 35% of the vote at any point this century. Tim Michaels became the first Republican gubernatorial candidate in recent history to be under 60% in this key suburban county. And in terms of raw vote totals, just 54,000 Waukesha County voters voted for Democrat Mary Burke in 2014. And in 2022, more than 88,000 people in Waukesha County voted for Tony Evers. That's a pretty significant change in 8 years. And you've been the chair of the party since 2016. So you've been a big part of that change.
Yeah, absolutely. And we like to, my friends in Ozaukee like to say that we're turning the WOW counties into the OW counties for the Wisconsin Republicans. But yeah, it's been a crazy, 8 years since really the height of the WOW County's power for the Republicans was under Scott Walker. And there's been a ton of work that we've been doing locally, and it's great to see that paying off in dividends. And like Mark Belling, one of the most conservative talk show hosts in Wisconsin, said in his editorial on Wednesday in the Waukesha Freeman, if the Waukesha County Democrats keep doing what we're doing, it's going to be nearly impossible for Wisconsin Republicans to win statewide unless they dramatically change how they perform elsewhere.
What a sea change, too, because, you think about the Walker years in particular. You know, I feel like I even heard some people call it Waukesha, at certain points of his time as governor. You know, the Republican base, I think he was getting well north of 70% in Waukesha County. You know, the party has become, the Republican Party has become more rural in the years since, particularly since, Donald Trump arrived in 2016. But that has opened the door for some changes in the suburbs. So what have been the conversations that you've been having? What have those been like in this election cycle and, kind of zooming out as well to think of the change over the, decade plus from when Walker became governor?
I think the best way to think about what we just saw with Tony Evers is to zoom out. Like you said, start with what changed. And for us, a lot of it was just rebuilding the credibility of the Democratic brand in Waukesha, because you had a lot of people who grew up in Waukesha or near Waukesha, and their parents were Republicans, so they just kind of naturally just fell into that hole. I think Romney-type Republicans, Paul Ryan-type Republicans, were there a bit more moderate socially and a bit more conservative fiscally. And Democrats did not have a good brand with them. They did not think highly of us. They kind of viewed us as like the Milwaukee-type liberals. So for us, when I took over, it was a lot of, what do we do to rebuild that brand? How do people look at us like we're an actual viable alternative that's not going to completely remake America, but we have a different vision for it, and our vision includes them as well? So for a lot of what we did for the first couple years, years, it was just finding every community event. Like, is there a fair going on with 50 people that we can go to? Can we march in a parade? Can we do anything just to let them know that, hey, there are Democrats out here and we are not, you know, any sort of crazy liberal thing. Like, they hear about AOC and it's really hard for them to vision that with us because they've seen us now for years and that's just not who we are. And a lot of that kind of played into where we got with Tony Evers, because when we talked about our branding as just a normal functioning part of your neighborhood, and then you look at Tony Evers, he's probably one of the most Wisconsin people you can imagine. He just he just look at him and he talks Wisconsin, he lives Wisconsin. And we've seen a continued trend in the Republican Party where they're putting more extremism out there. You know, if you're a Brookfield voter, Waukesha City voter, and you're looking, you're like, you know, I don't always like Democratic policies that are a little, you know, maybe they spend a little too much or they like taxing a little bit rich people a little bit more to do social services. Like, I'm not a fan of that, but I really don't like the idea of a raped child having to be forced to give birth. Or I really don't like my gay neighbor not knowing if he'll be allowed to be married because the Supreme Court might change their mind. So we really just look at what does the alternatives look like. And we are really doing a great job becoming a reasonable alternative where it's the adults in the room who want to govern, not the Republican extremists in the room who want to burn everything down and ask questions later.
Mm-hmm. So as Tony, we referenced it in the last segment, but Tony, you were saying boring wins.
Yeah.
You know, that's the mantra for the Waukesha County Democrats.
Huh? Absolutely. I think it's great. I mean, Joe Biden and Tony Evers, to me, really replicate what it looks like to start bringing over those moderate Republicans who are looking for adults to govern well. They want to be able to wake up every day and handle their life and not worry about what doom is going to come on Twitter or Facebook or wherever the president decides to communicate that day. You know, and as we got closer to the cycle and we started getting out and talking to voters about Tony and everything, one of the things that always kind of resonated was, you know, people, yes, they care about policy, but it really boils down to their gut. Do they think that this candidate wakes up every day concerned about them? Do they give a crap about me and my family, my struggles, my stressors? And Tony has always seemed like a guy who gets Wisconsin. He knows what the average Wisconsinite's going through. And then you look at the alternatives, Tim Michaels, Donald Trump. They don't, you know, very bide well with average Wisconsinites. You know, I'm not sure what the view is like from the mansion in Connecticut, but it's probably not the same view of the person in Waukesha who's driving to Milwaukee for their job on 43 hitting potholes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, and so you mentioned something that I think speaks to kind of the bigger picture of this issue, too. But I think a lot of people have talked about this being a singularly Trump phenomenon,
mm-hmm.
where people, you know, the change in the suburbs, particularly among suburban women, have really turned away from the Republican Party during the Trump years. So to what extent do you think this is a Trump issue? And to what extent do you think this is just a larger Republican Party issue?
I think it's almost exclusively a Republican Party issue, because yes, you can try to say blame it on Donald Trump. And I'm sure a lot of Republicans nationally will try to and say, look, once we get rid of him, everything will be fine and we'll be okay. But in reality, if you look at Waukesha, even when Trump is not on the ballot, we are still seeing progressive change. You know, going back from the Burke election, let's even go back to Barrett's election in 2010, mm-hmm. where Barrett got about 26% of the vote in the county. That's 13% over 12 years, and that does not happen because of Donald Trump. That happens because of a slow, consistent change of who you're appealing to and the issues you're talking about. You know, looking at, you know, we keep talking historically, and I think that's a great way to look at it. Go to Brookfield, and about the turn of the decade where Walker was in power, there was a proposal to build a mosque in Brookfield. And it was met by Republican-led opposition protesting and talking about terrorism and all those scare tactics that used to be about Muslims. Now it's about Mexicans and other immigrants. And lo and behold, they still put the mosque in. And now you go a decade further and there's a Muslim on the school board. The mayor is doing joint swearing-ins on Qurans as well as Bibles. And the neighborhood in Brookfield loves and accepts the fact that there is a huge mosque in their town that draws in visitors and is a great influence in their community. And the Republicans fiercely fought that every step of the way. So now when there's a new message and they're trying to scare you about immigrants or about crime, it's not so much that they're trying to play, oh, these unknown brown people are frightening me. It's, oh, well, these neighbors now that I know it's much harder to scare people when they now are directly living with the people you're trying to scare them about.
Yeah, the fear mongering doesn't connect when it's less in the abstract and it's somebody you know who's part of your community and making positive contributions.
Exactly. It's exactly the problem. And so as the Republicans continue to try to follow their path of governing for less people, you know, they might be elected to govern for all of America or all of Wisconsin or whatever, but if you look at how they're governing, it's really narrowly selected who they're appealing their governing to. We're able to capitalize on that because people don't want that. They want a society where we all function together. You know, Waukesha is a great place where we see the benefits of immigration through like the Medical College of Wisconsin and a huge growing Asian American population as well. So when you're trying to scare people about immigration, how we need a America first dog whistle, they're like, well, you know, actually we have really good benefits from having immigrants come in and be part of our communities and part of our hospitals and part of our farms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an important part of that conversation as well. And, you know, it's so interesting the way Waukesha County is changing. Cause you know, I grew up in Waukesha County. I went to Pewaukee High School, grew up, a lot in this area. And it's just so interesting to see how much it's changed. Cause when I was in the neighborhood I grew up in, it was all George W. Bush signs everywhere. Yep. In 2000 and 2004 election. And when I went back this year, seeing Mandela Barnes signs in that neighborhood kind of blew my mind. Yeah. But it is indicative of the way, you know, this has become a battleground. You know, this has become, you know, there's a path for this part of the state to become a 50-50 county. Yeah. And this is the third, you know, Waukesha County is the third most populous county in the state. Mm-hmm. Like when you know, make those kind of incremental changes from election to election, that's a lot of voters. That's a lot of people.
Absolutely. Know? And the way I always kind of tell people about it is like when we're talking about persuasion versus GOTV, how do you win elections? Do you get new people out to vote? Do you get Democrats out to vote? Do you persuade people? Well, for Waukesha, it's a lot of persuasion. And not to say we don't need to turn out voters, but in 2022, the Wisconsin state voted about 57% voter turnout, give or take. Waukesha was 83%.
Incredible.
So we vote pretty consistently no matter what. So for us, it's a matter of persuasion. And when we persuade a voter to vote for a Democrat over a Republican, it's almost a two-vote swing. Because we're not just getting a vote that would be staying at home. We're getting someone that would probably come out for the Republican unless we have that conversation and bring them to our team. So it's almost like a two-point swing, which is huge for us. And like Mark Belling says, if you take away the Republican Party's heart, their biggest vote county is Waukesha. If you start weakening that, they have to find those votes elsewhere. And it becomes really hard to win statewide when you have to go to a rural place and not just change 1%, but change 20% to make up the 1% you're losing here.
Right. Yeah. I looked at some of the margins in rural Wisconsin, of course, you know, have kind of shifted the other direction. Mm-hmm. You know, I looked at the map for the 2006 election where Jim Doyle won re-election, and it's a lot of blue in western Wisconsin and northwestern Wisconsin. But it was deep, deep red in Waukesha County, Ozaukee County, Washington County. And so, you know, it's a not a lot of time to see so much of a change happening to the state. And I think the more Waukesha County continues to change, you know, that's going to have such huge ramifications statewide. And, you know, Ozaukee County too. Ozaukee County had, you know, they were voting more than 70% for Scott Walker 8 years ago, and now they were only 55% for Tim Michaels. Now that's a big change.
It absolutely is. And I think, you know, it's great because almost every issue we see Democrats tackling right now are issues that sell well to Waukesha County voters. Whether you're talking about student debt relief, where Waukesha County is one of the highest educated counties in Wisconsin, so there's a lot of student debt here. Whether you're talking about the Inflation Reduction Act, where there's a lot of investment in making your home more energy efficient. Who's going to be out buying electric cars or new dishwashers? Probably people in Waukesha County who have a lot of wealth to spend. These are all policies that directly help them, and we can sell those to these voters. And it's also not even just economic, but even going socially again, like gun issues. Republicans are so out of touch with the average person on guns. What's one of the most common things we heard is that when we were talking to voters, there are parents who are sending their young kids to school and hearing about how's your day at school? What'd you guys do? Oh, we did an active shooter drill for a half hour. And they're just like, how would you feel if your 5, 6, 7-year-old was talking about how they all hid in a closet for a half hour for an active shooter drill? That's terrifying for families.
Yeah, I, as a parent of a kid that age myself, that is, it's a frightening prospect. I wish they would not do those things. We are coming up against a break here. We're here with Matt Marino from the Wisconsin, from the Democratic Party in Washington, Waukesha County. We're getting down to the final stretch here, Jane. We're making
it work. No worries.
All right, this is Dan Schaefer. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is our final segment.
Last one.
3 hours, live radio. I haven't sworn once, which is the real upset of the show so far.
Now you just jinxed yourself.
No, yeah. I'm gonna bring it home here. That's all right.
I had to catch myself too early. Don't worry.
We're here with Matt Marino from the Waukesha County Democrats. One of the big stories coming out of the midterm elections in Wisconsin was the success of the Waukesha County Democrats. So first, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the work you've been doing at the grassroots level to make that change in your county.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it all starts with, for us, about being in the community. So in the last year, we've been at over 75 community events, whether it's parades, festivals, fairs, farmers markets. We go everywhere that will let us be there. We will show up. We've even joined some Chamber of Commerce. So we can start showing up some business events, and just everywhere where people are, we want to be there to talk about issues and talk about what Democrats actually stand for outside of the fear mongering you see on TV. We also run one of the most sophisticated digital operations in Wisconsin. We had a huge digital ad campaign that reached over 1.5 million impressions on Waukesha County voters over the course of the election cycle. I'm actually breaking that on here for
that's
you.
That's significant.
Yeah. So it was a huge digital operation. It was, if you take every county party in Wisconsin and combine them outside of us, we still did more than all of them.
Wow.
So
that's
we were
incredible.
Really excited, because that's where people are at. If you need to reach young voters, if you need to reach, you know, young parents who are taking their kids to practice and stuff, they're probably going to be on Facebook, and that's a great way to get your message out to them. We also ran one of the largest grassroots campaigns we've ever run in the county. We have over 13 neighborhood teams that recruit their neighbors from their community and then spend time talking to the neighbors in their community, because no one knows, Brookfield better than someone who lives in Brookfield. Like, we're not going to send someone from Pewaukee out to Brookfield and vice versa, because you know your issues, you know it. And really, politics boils down to your neighborhood. You're probably more concerned about the pothole you hit every single day than you are about something going on in the state legislature that you probably don't know much about.
Yeah. Democracy happens from the ground up. I keep saying it. That's what I've been saying over and over at the Recombobulation area this year, is that democracy happens from the ground up, and you're doing that ground level work. One thing I did want to talk about with you while you're here is split ticket voting, because that has been, one of those themes to come out of the midterms. Wisconsin elected a Republican senator and a Democratic governor. Not all that uncommon across the country this year. You know, I think such a similar dynamic is happening in Nevada, in New Hampshire, a number of other states that are kind of those swing states. We're hoping maybe Georgia joins that group of split ticket voters in the coming weeks here as well. But what is it, you know, did Waukesha County see a lot of split ticket voters? What happened in your neck of the woods?
Though? Yeah. So if you go back to 2018, the Baldwin Walker election, there was a 7.3% of Waukesha County voters voted for Tammy Baldwin, an openly gay liberal senator, and Scott Walker, a very conservative governor, which is mind-boggling. We tell most people that there's 7.5% of voters who voted for those two candidates at the same time.
It's so Wisconsin, though. Yeah.
It is very Wisconsin, yeah. Absolutely. Then fast forward to this election, we saw about 3.3% was split tickets in Waukesha County from our initial looks. I mean, there could obviously be some undervoting happening, but the initial looks about 3%. So they voted Ron Johnson, a conspiracy theorist senator, Team Trump, and Tony Evers, a goalie of democracy for Wisconsin, a fierce Democrat. So there are people out there. After 2018, one of our goals was to find as many as possible of them and just understand, like, what were you thinking? Like when you went to vote, like, what made you be like, Tammy Baldwin? Got it. Scott Walker? Got it. And a lot of people that we could find, it really just boiled down to their gut. And it's one of those things that's the most maddening thing because you can't campaign on someone's gut. Like, I can't run an issue-based ad that will reach your gut. But the way the candidate presents themselves, the way that people learn about these candidates really matters. When they listen to them talk and they're campaigning, giving their stump speech, are they checking the boxes that makes this person feel like they actually care about me? And while I don't think Ron Johnson does that well, I think that a lot of people knew him. I think Ron Johnson benefited from incumbency because they painted Mandela to look like the devil. They made him look evil as possible. That he, one of the, I remember one door specifically, they said that Mandela wants to release rapists and murderers. And, you know, your follow-up question is, do you actually think anyone in America wants to release rapists and murderers? And you're able to kind of slowly pin them down to like a no, but that's a 10-minute conversation that you can't have with every single voter. So there's probably thousands of voters who believe that. So Ron Johnson kind of was the devil you know. You know what you're going to get with him. You know you're going to get conspiracy theories. You know you're going to get, you know, not great votes that don't always help you. You know he's going to just inhibit Joe Biden in any way he can. But I think a lot of people were a bit more comfortable to go with the devil they know than the devil that was portrayed of Mandela Barnes. And that is just a terrible thing to have to even get to.
Yeah, so many of those ads, you know, here in the Milwaukee media market, seem targeted a lot of those Republican voters in places like Waukesha. And so, you know, it's definitely a tricky thing. But I think what you mentioned about closing that gap of swing ticket voters, or split ticket voters, is a really, really important part of this too. Because there are a lot of split ticket voters around the state, not just Waukesha, not just the suburbs, kind of where things are shifting, but it's a really a statewide thing. And we have quite the dynamic here in Wisconsin. I tweeted this last week. What I want to find is the Obama, Walker, Trump, Baldwin, Biden, Evers, Johnson voter. That's who I'm looking for. If you're out there, email the recombobulationary at gmail.com. I want to interview you.
I will help you fund that focus group of that. I'd love to hear what they think, what they're seeing. And you know, what we heard from focus groups around the country that we can at least kind of help understand Wisconsin is, you know, especially with younger folks or people who are not engaged, it's a general frustration. Mm-hmm. A frustration with government. Not necessarily with a party or with anything, but the functioning of the government. And that's what the Republicans want. The Republicans want the government to function as poorly as possible so that they can say, well, look, the government sucks. You should vote for us so that we can dismantle it. And then when they get there, they dismantle it a little bit more and undo some stuff the Democrats do. And they can be like, well, look, still sucks. Still should vote for us.
It's a fun strategy they've got over there.
It's a really nice circular strategy they have to cause the problem, then point to the problem and say, look, the problem's the problem. We should just get rid of the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. That was such a big thing during 2020 when they were raising all these alarms about the unemployment insurance system that they themselves destroyed.
Yes.
During the Walker years.
And then refused to fund even under Tony Evers asking for more funding for it.
Yes, exactly. Let's not rehash 2020 fights. But we're coming up to the end of the show here. We made it. 3 hours.
Well done.
Radio.
Well done.
This has been Ask Us Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. If you want to read my latest work at the Recombobulation Area, I wrote a piece on my 15 takeaways from the midterm elections here in Wisconsin. I must say, it's getting a lot of readers. A lot of people want to read about the Wow Counties. Everybody loves to hear about the Wow Counties and hear about crucial Waukesha County. So, Matt, thank you so much for joining us for this final stretch of the show. And thanks to everybody for listening and hanging with me today. I really appreciate it. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Yeah!